It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1007 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today the usual crew, James Dean Rader, back from EIWA's Bucknell Bison. To my left, from Hershey Town, Chocolate Town, USA, Tyler Meisinger. Get in on his salute. That's his, yep.
I don't know. Hopefully this doesn't offend the troops. I don't know.
Yeah, a little stolen valor-ish, because it's like you would never enlist. And of course, Mr. I coach all the greatest wrestlers in America. I don't know which one of my wrestlers is going to be the one seed at 165, but it's probably going to be one of them. My other pupil, Parker Kekeisen, dominated.
How good did Parker look last night?
So good. It was a masterpiece, is what I thought.
Yes.
I mean, Dustin Plott is fantastic. That could be an NCAA final. He was like, boom, boom, boom.
Yes.
I mean, he was cutting him to push for a tech in the last minute of the match. You know?
He was. In fact, it was awesome.
That was crazy. Oh, my gosh. What a weekend of wrestling.
It's almost too much. I was thinking about that last night. Like, it's just too much to consume. I know my guy sat down to watch. One of my kids like, you're watching wrestling again? How is it still on?
It's an incredible weekend. Big Ten's wraps, then it kind of goes a little bit. There's a little overlap, ACC finals, you know, Big Ten finals, ACC finals. Then had a little bit of time for Big 12 finals. And just what a incredible 2 days of wrestling, 3 days really with the EIWA starting Friday. But let's start at the Big Ten's. That's where I was this weekend. Great tournament. I flew home this morning so we could get the show. Appreciate you guys letting us go a little later today. Thank you to Ben.
You know what? It was kind of perfect. We should just do that because, you know, I was really hoping you had some flight delay because I was in the sauna. I'm like, I really don't want to get out of the sauna right now. And I was, you know, you guys didn't respond to my text initially about if we're really going at 11 still. I was hoping, like, yeah, no, let's go 11:15. Let's go 11:30. I want to stay in the sauna a little longer. But for the record, I did make it at 11 a.m. and there was technical difficulty, so I was not the reason we were late.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right at 11.
Hey, so, yeah, you guys missed it. When Ben first came on, he's had a towel wrapped around his shoulders. He was eating hot dogs, and then he wanted
it's a beef stick.
No, those are hot dogs.
I'm going carnivore, Christian.
Do you like it?
Christian, this is a beef stick.
Hot dogs are carnivore.
Yeah.
I mean, the pork ones are kind of gross. If you get all beef, maybe, but I don't really love those. You know, I haven't went all carnivore, but I think the longest I did 3 or 4 days straight was just carnivore.
Okay.
So I like it.
So you're kind of like, you're like a coastal grizzly bear. Mostly meat, but every now and again, you're hoping for those fresh salmon, but every now and again, you'll indulge.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm dabbling. I'm seeing if I like it or not.
Okay, cool. All right, I don't even know how to even start this show, honestly. But
I think we just start from 125. The madness continues.
Oh my goodness. It was madness.
Awesome.
And yet, I wasn't watching this like, oh my goodness! At no point in time,
of course not,
a single result surprised me. It was notable. I mean, 1 vs. 2 wrestled, I think, for third. It, no 1 vs. 2 in America, I think, wrestled for third. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, Michael DeAgostino, he beat Drake. Dean Peterson beat Matt Ramos. And then this, but you got to start and finish with Braden Davis and the job he did. Had for sure that, I mean, I don't know. You can't really even assess draws at 125 brackets because how do you say what's tougher? But,
seriously.
But all I know is he went through an All-American, 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 fifth and sixth year guys. And
really, can I ask you a question about the Braden Davis-Eric Barnett match? Because some of my wrestlers came over to watch it, and you know we were doing the multi-view type thing.
Yeah.
Now, we could talk about the overtime call, but before that, Braden Davis takes him down in the second period, holds him on his back. They give 3 takedown, 3 near fall. Mm-hmm. A brick comes out, and I'm like, what is the brick coming out for?
Yeah.
Because it seemed to be obvious that he was on his back. And then they wiped the back points. So why did they wipe the back points in that scenario?
That was unclear to me. I don't know why they did that. It seemed to me like...
Did it look like back points to you?
Yeah. I mean, that one happened right in front of me. I thought it was definitely near fall.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was that changed it.
That was strange because I wanted to hear some type of explanation of like why they couldn't start counting right away, because it appeared obvious that he was on his back for, you know, maybe they go from a 3 points to a 2 points, mm-hmm, or something to that effect, but it appeared that there was going to be near fall and it was obvious.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure. And then it ends with a weird submission attempt thing from Eric Barnett.
I kind of hate this. I kind of hate this, guys.
Yeah, okay.
Because right now, the gray area between a potentially dangerous call and an illegal hold, of which apparently this was, he did not, in fact, have a Kimura lock, which is what I thought he did have. All he did, he was holding onto the wrist. Yeah. That was it. And he did try pulling it in a way that the arm probably doesn't bend. But there's a lot of other scenarios in wrestling. Like, hold on, let me just finish one thought, and I'll let you run. He pulled the arm in a way it doesn't go. But, and this is like they say, you can't go against a joint. Listen, if I take someone over in a hammerlock, I twist the neck in a way it doesn't like to go. If I take someone over a bar, I bend the shoulder in the way it doesn't like to go. There are actually a lot of holds in wrestling in which we take the opponent in an uncomfortable manner. And that's the reason they go to the back, because if they weren't uncomfortable, they wouldn't go to the back. They don't want to go there.
Yeah. I don't.
So what's illegal and what's potentially dangerous?
Yeah. I hear you. I don't know. I mean, I would say just... The pressure against the joint is enough to merit an illegal. And, you know, this isn't really material to the broader conversation, but just for this match, it felt like that the result of Braden winning was the result of the action on the match, right? You can, whether you agree or disagree with the illegal, that takedown felt a little imminent. It felt like he had some near fall, so kind of came out in the wash, right?
Yeah, so I agree, and that's what people probably weren't that upset about. It was because, mm-hmm, like, the near fall got washed, and it looked obvious, and then because the takedown likely was going to happen. But I talked about this the other day. At the end of the day, the referee, we want to have a consistent calls where we know what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I am actually confused on what exactly would be called illegal and what will be called potentially dangerous. Because think about all the leg attack situations, mm-hmm, where they go against the joint. And then it's like, well, did they put themselves there or did I force them to be there? So is this illegal or is this potentially dangerous? Because we should have some clarification, because if I'm wrestling, I want to know what can I and what can't I do and when will it and when won't it be called?
Yeah, that's fair. Davis goes on. He has a crazy match against DeAgostino. Low scoring, goes into tiebreakers. And this was... So DeAgostino had first choice. He goes under. He gets out in around 5 seconds. And then immediately when that happens, you're like, all right, this is bad for Braden Davis, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and he gets out in exactly 5 seconds. They exactly zeroed out riding time. I couldn't believe – I mean, the savviness that he's showing as a true freshman is really – you know, he can score points, but he's really good in, like, the kind of gritty situations as well.
Yes.
He continues to just be a total, I mean, just a shock to me that he's this good year one.
Because he was really good. I don't really remember him. I think he was who's number one. I think he was really good, but maybe he wasn't like high on the pound for pound list. Am I right on that?
Yeah, yes. You're absolutely right. I had his losses. I mean, he had multiple losses, including one to Vinny Kielkiri last year.
And maybe one this year.
He lost to, I don't know if that counts. But he lost to good guys, but, you know, nothing like otherworldly. He had like four or five losses, I want to say.
He was not a top five big boy.
No, he wasn't like a Luke Lilladol or a Jax or a, you know, he was good. He's really good high school wrestler that you thought could be productive at the Division I level, but it's just crazy to see him year one. And the fact that, Kale said it in, I think, the media before, that they just kind of, they watched him and were like, he's going to be the guy. He's probably, they want the process to play out for Robbie and the rest of the guys there, but they had the feeling that he was going to be the guy right away. So, I mean, talked about his match against Patrick McKee where, you know, he does it again, big, wins pretty dominantly, finishes with a big, mm-hmm. big takedown at the end there.
Yeah, he's probably guaranteed not to win NCAAs now, though.
As the one?
So he'll probably be the one seed.
He should get it. It's him or Stanich, right? I feel like there's no other contender for the number one spot. It seems like they both have two losses, and it feels like Braden has more elite wins. So I believe he'll be the one.
And Daniel Abdel says Matrix will likely spit out Davis.
Then there you go. All right. I mean, he obviously can win a national title. There's no doubting that.
But we said this last week. The amount of parity at 125 is something like we've probably never seen before. If you said, okay, Braden Davis wins nationals, that's very reasonable. Right, but if you said Braden Davis lost to Richard Figueroa, the 15 seed or 16 seed, right? In the I'm like, okay, I get it.
100%, totally agree.
Although Figueroa probably won't be 16 because he won PAC. So
I don't know, man.
I mean, he won't be high. He won't be high, but he'll probably be higher than that.
Yeah, but he could be at 8-9, and that could be a quarter.
Be 8-9. Yeah, for sure.
Gonna be really interesting how the seeds play. And it's also interesting like how it's so matchup reliant. Like Caleb Smith can beat just about anyone, but if he's against like a super good top guy like Pat McKee or Eric Barnett, he's like totally out of the match.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's weird. What's got you giggling? Because I didn't say anything funny.
Oh, this guy just posted in the chat. I'm on it watching us on FRL. FRL on YouTube, and he said, "Ben, turns out Ryder Rogatsky needs to concuss Bullock with an elbow in order to beat him."
This has been Tyler. Let's get on Tyler.
But no, this is Ryder Rogatsky, Christian. Kevin Mulder might not be familiar. Ryder Rogatsky is about as high and low as it gets. You'll see him take some butt whoopings, and then you'll see him be freaking totally amazing. So,
right, I mean, a roller coaster.
He may or may not get custom. Ooh. But he's first team all roller coaster ever.
Rider coaster. Yeah, he's
Rider. What about him? Him and Saldano, the seventh place match.
They're crazy. Yes,
that was team roller coaster.
Tyler ranted and raved publicly and privately that the Bullock match had an asterisk because he was knocked.
He was elbowed in the head.
Oh, stop!
In the duel,
lying.
He was.
He was knocked.
It was an accident. Then he got teched. You're being a whiner.
But then he won.
He didn't say it was intentional by Ryder.
No, I don't think he was. He did it on purpose.
Yeah.
And this is definitely Michigan homer Tyler speaking.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts? Well, I mean, you're proving our point. Michigan doesn't like tough wrestling.
Oh, come on.
Well, they did pretty freaking good. I think they placed higher at Big Tens than the Tigers did at Big 12s for.
Oh, man, why you be shooting shot? Listen, I don't coach the Tigers, Christian Piles. I mean, yes, I'm very disappointed by the result.
You just supply their best wrestlers.
Well, I mean, you know, if we would have got Mitchell there, they would have placed a little higher.
That would have helped.
That would have helped. Or Parker.
Parker, that would have helped also.
Yes.
Okay. I don't even know where to go. 33 or
more thoughts on 125. Ayala beats Ramos. I mean, Ramos is a guy we all have said we've kind of picked him as our favorite. And now I think our theory has been disproven. He lost two matches. I don't know what seed he's going to be. Probably somewhere between 5 and 8.
I would guess.
Yeah. He'll
still definitely win it.
Kevin Garnett, anything's possible.
I think if you put the five biggest guys on here for betting odds and you put the field – the field is going to be the favorite by like minus 800 or something ridiculous.
I don't know. Is there a chance Braden is just that guy though? Like as even though he's taken losses, is there a chance that he's just he's a true freshman rounding into form?
There's not a chance. No chance. I'm disagreeing with you strongly, and my point of evidence will be he probably should have lost to Vinny Kilcurie, and if you had Vinny Kilcurie in the rankings, he'd probably be between 22 and 30 somewhere in there. So if you're saying does Richard Figueroa or Jory Volk have a chance not have a chance at beating Braden Davis, I think you're wrong. I think there's a lot of people in this field who could beat Braden Davis. I think Braden Davis obviously has a chance to win, and to the point where he's maybe the favorite, but is he that far and above everyone else? No. And the answer is no way.
I mean, yeah, when you said Jory Volk, I was like, oh, that's absolutely a coin flip match. Like Jory's
seriously right.
Yeah Jory's so good. And all these guys, I feel like every 25, even Figueroa at this point, I feel like every 25 is really battle-tested. Like, everyone's been in a bunch of tough matches. They've all beaten each other.
When the top 20 are all about the same level, you get tough matches. It's not a scenario where the top three have separated themselves. So then
they
wrestle a number 17 guy. It's not necessarily you getting battle-tested.
Yep.
Almost every match you get battle-tested.
Dylan Shaver went absolutely beast mode at 133.
Oh, so beast mode.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, first of all, he had some tight ones. I mean, I think Teske
quarters. Was it quarters?
Teske quarter.
No, I'm pulling. Teske was semis. It was Braxton Brown. He went to overtime.
Crazy close against Braxton. Crazy close against, I mean, the Teske one, it looked like Teske was almost in position to score that.
Hell yeah. He definitely was there. I think Dylan Shaver took a few lessons with Brian Saldano because it appeared to be a butterfly guard sweep that he hit to get the reversal.
He went all the way
That's
under
really what it looked like.
Yeah, he went
and
all the way.
His foot was on the inside of the leg and he pulled the arm and he went that way with it.
It was wild. And you know, you can re-wrestle that position. And man, it looked like Brody, like what should Brody have just like kind of sagged down lower, sagged his hips a little lower? Cause he,
when they're underneath you like that with their head, and if they know what they're doing, it can be kind of really annoying and really difficult to score, actually.
Yeah.
So, he definitely knew he was doing. Yeah, but sag his hips back. You know, honestly, if they're good enough, you kind of got to let the head pop. Ideally, you'd like to keep the head squished against like 94% of people.
Yeah.
But if they're really tricky, you know, you got to let the head pop and then attack the body and the legs, which is almost like, how about, I know Tyler's going to be so excited to brag about this guy, Will Lewan, the takedown Brayton Lee almost had on him. I think it was the semis.
Dude,
where he
that was nuts.
Dumps him on his hip, and he just didn't finish running through him, and he hipped up. It was like, holy crap.
Him and Bartlett, honestly, it's so interesting how their hips are really similar. Like, they can be the most taken down. They can just...
You know who it reminded me of was Jaden Cox, kind of.
Okay.
The way he's able to just, like, fully be almost taken down and not get taken down.
Will's a really good athlete. He had a great... I mean, he had a great tournament. I think him at the seven, I think we gave him proper respect as a guy that could go on, do exactly what he did. And he, once again, he wrestled Levi pretty freaking tough. Overtime match.
You know what I thought, Christian?
Hmm.
First of all, I don't know why Levi got called for stalling. That was preposterous. But
not quite
if you're
sure
paying
either.
Attention, right after he gets called for stalling, about 10 seconds, he kind of walks backwards out of bounds. Just like he does. And this one's really weird to me why refs don't call it. I don't know. Because Younger did it also at the end, where they literally, I think they just forget where they're at, or I don't know what's going on exactly. Because it's not like they're trying to evade anything in particular, but they literally just walk backwards. Straight out of bounds. And it's like, if that rule couldn't be written more clearly, that should be a stall call. And so Levi did that, and I'm like, oh my God, they're going to ding him. And he's going to be down 2-1.
That would have been crazy.
That. Yeah.
That would have been nuts.
Do you guys remember him walking straight backwards out of bounds?
No, I don't.
I do.
Wow.
Yes. It was like 10 seconds after he gets called for stalling.
Holy cow. No, I don't remember that.
Crazy.
But yeah,
that we skipped to 57. Should we? I think before we leave 33, we should talk 33? About Bouzakis and how the structure of the bracket.
Oh, Christian called it.
Well, first of all, before we get into that, the Shaver tech of Dylan Ragusan. I mean, I thought that was like an OW worthy.
I don't think it was a tech. I think it was like 22-8.
Look it up. It was like 20-4.
No, it's 23-8. 23-8. It's tech fall.
I'm going to choose to remember that differently.
Tyler, I will bet you whatever amount of money you want on this.
I just remember it different.
You can't change. It's his memory.
Yeah.
That's his property. If you try to change his memory, technically that's stealing. So, yeah, I mean, listen, here's the thing. You could say, oh, great matchup or great performance. Ragusan had beaten him twice in like really close matches. And then he just blitzed him. Just beat him. And every time Ragusan would score and kind of make it like not close, but like, okay, maybe this is trending the other way. And then boom, he'd win a flurry and put him on his back. And then the final flurry he wins, gets the tech.
Yes.
And
let me ask you this.
Okay.
What you said about Braden Davis. I think you could maybe actually say that about Ryan Crookham. And that's crazy. Insane to say with Vito and Fix in the bracket, because Fix got taken down by Frost at the end, and he won a couple scrambles where Frost was deep in on the legs. Like Crookham feels kind of like the obvious favorite to me at this point in time.
I don't think that's crazy.
And I wasn't saying that last week.
No.
Dayton.
No.
I don't think he's an obvious favorite.
Well, here's the thing.
Dayton in the field.
Here's the thing. And, you know, I did that video and I picked Dayton as my new, like, the guy I was picking to win NCAAs. I don't like what's happening in these third periods of good matches. I didn't like what I saw in the Teske.
What do you mean?
Well, Teske match, he's tired late. Evan Frost, he's tired late. I think
we're talking about with Dayton Fix.
Yeah, I'm talking about Dayton.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, and I'm saying that's uncharacteristic of Dayton. And I don't know what once you kind of throw it out a couple times and you start to sort of, it becomes a trend. It becomes something more notable than a one-off result.
Yes.
And Ryan Crookham has done, he's answered every question. He's answered the toughest question twice now. And he's just an excellent athlete. He's really good at getting to legs. He's really good at finishing. He's hard to take down. I feel like
think he could have been dinged for stalling once or twice in the third. Yeah. How'd you feel about it? Vito was really pressing and he was really backing significantly.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Maybe you could have hit him again, but he also was liking to operate from space. I didn't know if Vito was pushing the issue quite enough to merit that.
I mean, I don't feel crazy about it, but I feel like they definitely could have done that and no one would have been all that upset.
No. The question for me is, Mike Gray says Vito will be fine, but I saw some things, even not just in his
correct.
I don't know about the
American match.
Yeah. American, and he was doing this, and listen, Vito is unorthodox, he has his own vibe and style, but he was doing this real upright stance thing a lot of times, and I did
he's doing it with Crookham too.
Yeah, I don't get it. And it makes me think there's an issue there, and I'm pretty sure there is.
I feel like if the Olympic trials wasn't a month after NCAAs, I would put all my money on Vito still, but in my opinion, you got to feel like his focus is on freestyle. He's going to be not going – like, I feel like if this is the last tournament, then, like, sometimes guys can just, like, mentally figure it out, like, put it together. But I think in Vito's case, the NCAA's tournament is not his priority this year. It's got to be Olympics. And getting down to 57, that's just my opinion.
It could be. I mean, that's just hanging over him and Dayton's head, and I don't know how much you can you can say. I'm focused on this, and now and then I'll turn my focus. But yeah, maybe that is.
I've been saying it for the whole year. Should have Olympic redshirted.
Yeah, I mean, that's that may have been the move. But yeah, so I think making Crookham the favorite on paper, what he's done this year, I don't disagree with that at all. He's
how about Teske and Bouzakis, though? Awesome.
Well, it's exactly why people thought I was, making excuses for Iowa and Tom Brands. It's like, no, guys, it's not that. You seed it right. Seed it right when you can, and you had a week to do it, and they should change, I get it, deadlines and nerds hid behind bureaucracy and
nerds
and an asinine rule that has no relevance to the tournament and how it's run. And you can hold that up, and you could be maybe you're winning some nerd argument, but you're not right. You're not
you're
right.
You're a bully, Christian.
You're
right
not.
Now.
You're not right.
Such a bully.
Brody Teske should not wrestle
nerd argument.
Nick Bouzakis. You know, I'm supposed
to
be the rules guy.
Hey, if I do have to have a comeback to you on this one, I'm going to push back a little bit. Because I think when Jaden Coxmus wins by a few minutes, you were like, ah, it's a rule. It should be held up.
Well, weigh-ins, are, I think, is a totally different. You think you should
why?
Get.
Why? It's only 10 minutes. Small bureaucratic snafu.
That is such a mind-numbing comparison. Okay, thank you. My gosh. I was like, Ben, you
I
can't.
I mean, listen, I kind of think I can see both sides of Jaden Cox's argument. And on the Teske thing, I agree with you 100%.
Okay.
I want you to keep yourself honest, though.
All right. I am. I'm
hey, JD, when I leave the show, if he's ever out of pocket, you bring me back on the show. I'll
you know
keep
what?
This man honest.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Ben, because you guys love to gaslight me all the time. And you did this
gaslight,
thing with my.
You're
listen,
crazy.
Listen to this. So I'm at Big Ten's, and this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, I listen to every show. He's like, you're right. You never sold anything for Myers Shapiro. You said
that's crap.
That's bull.
And he used the exact words I said. He said, you just stopped accumulating. You stopped purchasing more stock. And I said, thank you. I said, boy, I sit here. And,
in our virtual and they world, can, that is selling stock.
And they
go from,
yep. I wish
he's going to win.
You guys know nothing about stocks. Clearly.
I know about Bitcoin. We're at the all-time high. I thought about not showing up for work today.
I know all about this FRL stock.
Yeah.
Virtual FRL stock. You sold.
No. No. And I'm so thankful.
We all know it.
I'm going to need.
We know it.
Well, we know this guy's never going to have my back. Tyler just wants to sabotage me at every turn.
That's true.
Okay? He at least admits it. These guys try to act like, no, you said it, Christian. You did. So that's going to be the new dynamic is that. I need to either get someone on my side, or honestly, you know what? These numbers make it fair, so let's go. It doesn't even matter.
The YouTube chat is really talking about how JD is buying into denim stock today.
Yeah.
I've been on denim.
He's been on that denim grind.
He's in it.
Man, he's got his Riddell shoes on. You know he's not messing around today.
Classic Canadian tuxedo with the wolf shirt.
Yeah, that's great. I like how he calls them wolves.
Wolf. No L.
Like an 8-year-old. Hey, Dad, I saw a wolf.
It's like that the website that Ryan made in the office, wolf.com.
Wolf.com, mm-hmm. Yep. It's just like that. So, yeah, Bouzakis loses in incredible fashion.
Or Teske, baby.
Teske.
Or Dodge.
Teske had a great, great tournament. But, I mean, it's the classic. You're getting cut. You just got to keep your head away from your knee. And then the near side cradle. And then the almost reversal.
Yeah, his arms had to be so gassed after holding that cradle for 40 seconds.
He made a face at one point. Teske was like, ah. He's like, I don't know how much longer you can hold on. And you got, you know, mutant strength Bouzakis fighting like crazy. That was a great match. I would have said this will 100% be the greatest match of Big Tens until Mitchell goes crazy. Baby. Let's just talk about that match.
Really talk about that.
I like Teske's backside match.
Bounce around. I mean, the Van D thing.
The Van D.
Just let it flow. Let it flow. We'll get back to it. But, you know, I said
Van D, he's great.
Yeah, Van D's good. But the match of the, you know, before we talk about consolation quarterfinal matches, let's talk about Mitchell Messenbrink. Frickin'.
Let's go.
I won't say from the grave because, you know, you don't count on.
Not from the grave.
Not from the grave.
Not from the grave.
Not the grave. But it was.
I was mad. Jim Gibbons got to do his homework. I think it was Jim Gibbons at least, although I couldn't see him. He said, Mitchell's in deep waters. He's a freshman. I don't know if he can handle this. And I said, you idiot. Mitchell rents a freaking apartment at Mariana's Trench. Have you never watched this man wrestle before? Like, this man's a shark. He lives in deep waters.
Yeah.
And you, like, just the way he wrestles, God. So you knew you can't count him out.
Yeah. And what I wasn't factoring in was the I mean, which is dumb, but, you know, him being able to transition takedown right into catch him and hold him on his back. Cause I was like, it feels like he's going to have to, Hammond's going to have to fall off and he's going to have to just do catch and release the whole time. And then
I mean, guys, that's the thing with Mitchell is he gets you tired. He's going to get himself tired, but he lives in deep waters. He's just going to keep going when he's tired. It's not an issue, you know? And he has the ability to just score and score and score. Right. Yeah. So even if he's down by a couple, like he could reel off 3 takedowns in 30 seconds or 45 seconds and it not really be that amazing. You know, once he gets you that tired and he's that quick, it's going to be boom, 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 you know? So it's like I had someone tell me, oh, he got lucky. Hamidi went to his back on that one. It's like, no, what? That didn't happen. He would have got multiple takedowns if he needed to after that. There is no doubt in my mind at all.
Yeah, it was just crazy how quickly the switch flipped. Because it seemed it was just going so the other way. And then, boom, he gets a takedown at the end of that period. And you're like, all right, this is life. And then next thing you know, it just happened so fast. And then once he put him on his back, you're like, all right, he's got it. I mean, just.
Yeah. So, I mean, there was the takedown. The second takedown that Hamidi got, Mitchell had a good attack. And he was close and kind of like made a little mistake and lost a scramble. And so he would have been 3 and instead was down 6-1, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I alluded to it earlier about, you know, sometimes Mitchell goes underneath and he knows it. He's not scared, right? He goes underneath and gets stuck underneath and maybe gives up some points there. Mm-hmm. But you also have to be able to wrestle 7 minutes at that pace. And if you can't do that, you're not going to beat him. You're just not. And Hamidi, although he has a good gas tank, was not ready to compete with Mitchell that hard for 7 minutes.
Yeah, it was a performance of the tournament, I felt. Match of the tournament, and it sets it up. And I asked Mitchell about it. I don't know if he liked the question too much, but, you know, I got to ask. I don't think he liked that I asked about Keegan, but, you know, it's notable. And now
– you freaking flow guys always looking for clickbait.
It's not clickbait. it's the thing on everyone's mind, and it's that potential match.
What did you ask him? What did he say?
He was like – He was not mad or anything, but he was like, it's no different. I wrestle teammates every day in practice. Well, it's kind of different, but because like those aren't matches. Those are practices, but I get the broader point. And that's probably what, man, he.
But they're going to be number one and two now. So that's great. No match until the finals. You know, if one of them had faltered a little bit, it could have been on the same side.
Yeah. Instead, it's going to be Mitchell, Keegan and David in the freaking semis now.
Most likely.
And after last night, I'm feeling more comfortable about that because Keegan looked really good. I know Carr's really good and he's still a threat, but Keegan looked – he wrestled in all the positions he needed to. And with Mitchell, Ramirez, he's tricky, but he can't wrestle 7 minutes that hard.
No.
And, you know – if you go watch the Keegan match, Ramirez falls off hard in the third period.
Yes. Yeah, he did. Man, it was unbelievable. Yeah, that performance. And let's talk about Keegan's performance against Kent's Carr. He comes out. He wins. He gets the first takedown off just to kind of a re-attack.
Man, well, let's start before that, though. That I told Keegan this. That scramble, and it was kind of static, so maybe people don't view it as that amazing because they're not tuned into the nuances. But when David Carr shot head inside, Keegan slipped it to head outside and went to like a crotch lock Chiarella type position, head outside Chiarella type position. And they were there for 45 seconds. Dude, there was some really high level stuff going on there. And I don't know if it probably wasn't enough for people to pick up on the nuance of it, but that was some really high level wrestling on both parties. I mean, I told Keegan, like, I thought you had the takedown. I was really impressed with what David Carr was doing there to not give up a takedown. And then they got there again in the third period, and Keegan even got over the leg on that one. And Carr was, you know, holding on like this, and Keegan wasn't able to. And then Carr got his head back up, which was super high level. But then Keegan was able to do a little bit of trickery in order to get the takedown for that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that first scramble because it was crazy and it did
really
seem like
good.
Because you know Keegan's trying to beat the shoulder, and he even got it kind of beat at one point. And you thought, it's coming. And then somehow Carr's able to, like, get his shoulder back in position.
Back in. And that happened, like, two or three times.
And, like, basically, typically, once the shoulder's beat, it's over. And, yeah.
It was really high-level wrestling on both parties.
Really impressed from David kind of thwarting that off. But Coach Dresser said, you know, his takeaways are, you know, we got to be more head inside than outside. We don't want to be head outside against this guy. The question is,
Keegan was, they weren't trying to go head outside. Yeah. Keegan was trying to force it outside. And, you know, in the first match, they wrestled, you know, I think Keegan underestimated David so good once he gets to the corner. And I literally used him as an example for a bunch of my athletes. It's like, you know, when we run that corner,
if David gets there, he's 100%. He beat Keegan there. If you're beating Keegan there, you're beating everybody there once he gets to the corner, right? Yeah. And so, you know, Keegan realized that, and he realized, I can't let this guy get to the corner. And so that's where he's at. You know, that's where he's at. He didn't let the guy get to the corner, and he forced the head outside and was able to win that position.
Two counter takedowns for Keegan.
Yes.
Do you think we see Carr take a more reserved approach and tries to really?
Because
the first shot was really, it was. I think it's gonna be hard
for him to take a more conservative approach, because he also knows if Keegan gets to his legs, it's gonna be likely that Keegan scores there as well. You know, so it's, yeah, it's tough for him to want to do that.
Yeah. Okay, so great. It's cool we got to see that, and we may see it again. Although not
likely in the. So it's probably going to go Keegan, Mitchell, Ramirez, Carr, Hamidi?
Yes.
I think so.
Correct?
Yeah. Yes, that is what it will probably be. I think it would probably take committee intervention to switch Mitchell and Keegan if they wanted to make Mitchell the one.
I don't think there's any reason to do that, too. You know, it's like Keegan's. You know what? Where it gets interesting,
defending national champ.
Yeah. Where it gets interesting, I don't think you go with that, and that's where it's an interesting debate happening right now with, because in a couple weight classes you have a more established guy that finishes undefeated, and you've got a guy that has had a tougher schedule. The best example right now is Younger and Kirkfleet, whereas Kirkfleet.
That match was awesome too.
Incredible. Kirkfleet's preseason number one, runs the table, no problem. Younger has literally beaten at like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, like everyone else, but himself. And so he's had a much tougher schedule than Kirkfleet. Also, Kirkfleet is harmed by the fact that the All-Star match doesn't count for his record or for seeding, so he doesn't get the credit of the Hendrickson win, which is Bastida's best win. So on paper, there's no doubt that Younger has had a more impressive run.
And he will come out ahead of Kirkfleet in the Matrix.
Yeah. So the question is, that's where you think committee intervention, you know, what's, do they bump Kirkfleet up? I don't really have a strong opinion either way. I think.
But wait, so why is Mitchell's, and listen, either one or two, I don't really care, but why would you argue that Mitchell's schedule is stronger because Keegan's had.
I'm not. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Olesnik twice, Carr, Hall. I feel like there's someone else in there. I mean, Mitchell, we didn't even talk about Mitchell smashed Caliendo. Like, no one smashed Caliendo. That was so impressive.
Yeah, that was really impressive. Mitchell's big wins are Caliendo twice. He beat Amin
twice.
And he beat Hamidi. Yeah, I think that Keegan has better wins. I don't think there's any scenario Mitchell bounces Keegan. But there are scenarios like Crookham Dayton, where Dayton better.
Right, Dayton's undefeated.
Dayton's undefeated. Ryan Crookham's undefeated. Crookham tougher schedule, I would say.
Beat Vito twice.
And they wrestled against Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they had the duel. Now, that does not factor into any of the math that goes into seeding, but it's implanted in the minds. But you've got Dayton as the higher returning guy. He's been number one, didn't lose. But he didn't get to wrestle at Vegas because of injury, and that trickled into his duel. He missed some duel meets, so it's curious what they'll do there. I honestly don't know what they're gonna do. I don't have a guess even.
I think
not even a guess.
I think Nomad was saying Matrix spits out Dayton.
There you go.
As the one, but
interesting.
Would they go committee intervention to make Crookham the one?
Yep. So. We're bouncing around, and I love it.
Vito's going to be down 41. At 4 or 5.
Yeah.
He won't be the 3.
Because it'll be who? Orini?
Kai.
And then where does Shaver go now? I mean, this really? Is...
Shaver,
I mean,
probably goes at 4 or 5.
Ragusan was looking like a semifinalist all year long. And now you've got Shaver coming on when it matters.
Wait,
most.
So who did you... Wait. So you put Vito down below Orini? Is that what you did?
That's what... Matrix. Nomad is saying the Matrix is going to spit out because Vito didn't wrestle that many matches, didn't get that many quality wins, suffered 2 losses, wasn't a conference champ. So,
I mean, his best win is like Nasir Bailey. And he does not
have. And you put Nasir at 5?
Wow, maybe Crookham. I don't know. I mean, not Crookham. Shaver.
Shaver. I mean, Bailey's 24-2. Only losses are Serrano and Vito.
Dang.
Has a tech fall over Evan Frost, which looks good because Dayton just beat Evan Frost by a couple points. Doesn't have any other.
Who'd Nasir lose to at 12s?
No, Nasir won. Packs. He won Tech 10s. Oh,
yeah.
He won.
Oh, my gosh. In my brain.
One.
Sorry, I got up at 3:45 this morning. So I get a couple of those. Yeah. All right. 41. You know what we should have done to be smarter? Is just kind of go through every weight for like and hit all the conference.
All conferences.
I was trying to guide you guys to that, but you guys were just.
We're just bad boys for life.
Dude, I just kind of let you run wild.
We kind of did that at 33 because we talked about
Figs
and Frost. We talked about Vito and Crookham.
Real quick, 25. Figs wins Pac-12s. Volk from the 5 wins Big 12s. Takes out Spratly late. Just an exciting finish there where he gets.
Yes.
Spratly got one for Stalling, or maybe it was. Yeah, I think it was Spratly got one for Stalling, and then Jory like shoots through his face and gets a takedown and rides him out. That's the main notable stuff there. 33, Dayton beats Frost, looked a little tired. Crookham beats Vito again. Those are kind of the main things. We talked about the murderous run of Dylan Shaver. And Teske's crazy match against Jake Van Dee, where he had seemingly won the match twice. He was awarded near fall.
That match was wild.
At the end of regulation, they challenged it, wiped the near fall overtime. He's awarded the takedown in overtime. They challenge it. They go back and award Van Dee the takedown, and Teske
I did kind of think, I kind of thought that was a takedown Van Dee before. That was my general feeling watching it. But then, I don't know, for something about it where I hate it when they let him keep wrestling and then the other person ends on top, and then they say, nah, actually, we're going to go the other way.
Well, I think there's something to be said for wrestling out the situation, and then, I don't know.
If you call two right away there and then don't give Teske the option to score where he obviously ended up getting on top, that's where it's worse.
I was worried Caleb Piles was going to storm the Capitol after that one. he was going so nuts.
You were talking about Shaver having a high seed at Nationals. He does have a pretty bad loss to Braden Basile of Army West Point.
Whoa.
Oof.
And
loss doesn't count.
Also lost to Minnesota's Tyler Wells.
Yeah, he has two losses to Ragusan. He lost to Latona, I believe, as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he could just be like a nightmare, like 7 or, you know, 8. If he's an 8 and he's on the same side as 1. He's hot. He's hot right now. All right. 41.
What a wait.
Oh, my gosh. Man, Mendez got it done. Dog, for sure. He beats Real in like I've never seen Real. I mean, Sergio Limley beat Real, you know, kind of bad in the duel. But the way Mendez scored those two takedowns, just to out, like, physical him and just, like, boom. Short offense. Mm-hmm. It was so impressive how he beat Real. And then he takes out Bo Bartlett in a what we assumed would be a close match, and it certainly was.
Absolutely. That bracket was so much fun to watch. You guys mentioned Mendez Woods was fun. Bartlett Lemley was crazy. Lemley Hardy was crazy, where Lemley won literally with maybe 1 second left.
Yes.
You know, if I had to comment, that match is one of them, but there were a lot of them. Guys, for God's sakes, if you hold on to a leg and just buckle down, the other guy can do some things. So, like, keep wrestling. And that was Hardy just had – he had the single leg. He tried buckling down, and Lemley was able to kick off and then wrestle back, and they get a takedown. Like, I saw that so many times this weekend where there was, like, you know, say – we'll say 10 to 15 seconds left, and the guy thought, I'm just going to hang on.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work out. Like, it's such a bad strategy. Got to keep freaking wrestling.
Yeah. Agree with that. And, the backside – battles here were nuts too. I feel like Limley and Real had a close
11-8.
Yeah, another exciting match.
Yep.
Hardy and Woods had a challenge. I mean,
always crazy.
That mat, there was just always challenge. They were just alternating bricks, and they kept getting them. They were right, so they get the bricks back. I will say the bricks were obnoxious.
Do you think there should be a penalty? Let's just pass. Do you think there should be a penalty for bricks a la freestyle to warrant it being more strategic rather than just might as well throw it out there.
Well, they only got three, right? If they got them wrong, they got them taken away.
I think they get more than three, but
really,
I think so. My gosh, if they only got three,
that's enough. They're right a lot of the time, and yeah, that's you know the part of the referee should take. like if you're getting challenge bricks thrown and the challenge bricks are right, you know, 50% of the time, like. Man, you need to reevaluate that.
Well, another thing like that we saw here is, you know, we always talk about these guys are reviewing their own calls and the yes. obvious bias. I mean, we saw that at the Penn State Ohio State duel, but we had an independent review here, and it changed a lot of calls. And I think
a lot more.
Oh, yes. A lot more. I'm sure the percentage is different, which should call into. The necessity, maybe. I don't know if necessity is maybe too strong.
No,
word,
you're right.
For necessity. Independent review at all good times. Word. Yeah. So should at least be looked at. I don't think it's some logistical impossibility. We only wrestle really on 3 days of the week. You could should be able to figure out some way to a video feed. It's 2024, you know?
Yes.
We're launching rockets into space. I think we can send
you guys really
videos.
Should. I wonder if. Could you guys put your quant division on the amount of bricks thrown and the amount of calls overchanged versus the regular season yeah. when it's not independent review?
Tyler heads up our quant division now, so we can turn that around. EOD?
Yeah, Tyler, yeah. Put the quants on that.
He's got it.
I got quants down.
He's got a team of quants. Mm-hmm. Wearing a hat today. It's throwing me off.
Yeah, I don't usually do that.
Yeah, it's a wild move. Is your dye job off or something?
Yeah, it's just like it's getting
Oh,
really...
yeah, he's mailing it. It's
very, Oh, man. It's well, like I was thinking yeah. maybe... Too many other athletes dyed their hair blonde for
what is
for the
I love
year,
it.
So he's
so dumb. I want to be me. Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm more ready for the postseason than anyone in this room right
Tyler
now.
Lives that March lifestyle year round.
Yeah, it's March year round for Tyler because right. he's always ready. Yeah, I love the Iowa State blonde. I think that's
all right.
I think you should only get one challenge per match.
Etchemendia was.
Well, ooh, I don't.
I
if you win the
I
challenge,
love it
you
when they only get a
certain yeah, but it's
amount.
Just it's a match pacing thing.
I know, but no, if the ref keeps blowing calls, how can you take say I can't challenge?
That's showbiz, baby.
No, it's not showbiz. It's
no.
sports.
No.
Yeah, that it's is sports.
This is not love is blind.
That is sports. Love sometimes refs blind. Don't get the right make the right call.
You like that? I don't. All right, 41.
No,
like,
I love the amount for the tournament. But I wish, no, if they did the amount for the tournament for freestyle, it'd be great. But the problem is they don't track it. So there's these knucklehead coaches. They get one a match, JD. Do you realize how many that adds up to? Like, if they just keep getting it wrong, they could get like 15 wrong the whole weekend.
Okay, yeah. Well, a youth tournament is a different like scenario. I'm talking
three or four or five wrong. Match. If you get that many wrong, you don't youth. Get any more. Sorry.
I'm talking about
I wish they did that in freestyle.
Yeah. Yeah okay.
Amazing.
41. Anything else with?
Sorry, Jeff? Am I too excited for you this morning, Christian Piles?
No, it's good. It's like I don't have to comment on everything. We've already exhausted the topic. Yeah, everyone knows how we okay. feel about challenges now.
All right, so let me ask you this: 41. Is it going to be obviously Mendez should probably go one?
Yep.
But then how does Jack won the ACCs? Correct.
Yes, I think he
erroneously maybe.
Yeah, that was
yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know about that. That was a weird call. I'm not certain that was a takedown. Did you see that exchange, Ben?
I did not see this. I did not subscribe to the ACC Network or wherever the hell it was.
Or, no respect for the
or
ACC.
Or Twitter.com where the
Twitter! I'll go check it.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Twitter.
I'm sure you'll find it really quick.
Okay.
So that was weird.
And Etchemendia, man, he looks really good. I think he's a threat to any. I really think he's a threat to any of the top guys.
Yes, I think he matches up good against all. I think him versus Jesse, very interesting. Bo for sure. Real, we've already seen he can wrestle with Real Woods. And yes. Yeah,
as much as it pains me to say it, and actually I don't know if it pains me because I don't know if I dislike Dresser got them boys at Iowa State ready to wrestle.
Yeah.
They really wrestled well at Big 12s, and you know it's like you know, Younger had some struggles. Well, if they're doing well, it means Missouri's not doing that well, unfortunately. But like Younger had some struggles, Etchemendy had some struggles, and they're both wrestling really well. Swiderski wrestles hard, Chittum wrestles hard. Like they got a bunch of guys who are doing pretty good.
They're wrestling really well.
First Cyclone Big 12 title since 2009. First outright since 2008.
Yeah. First Dressler's tenure. Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
JD, how happy are you?
Wait, we were okay.
I'm pretty happy.
Happy. Well, you had mentioned about 41 seeds. And
what's your ideal seeding scenario that sets up the semis you want to see in what you want to wait till the finals? Like, what match do you want to see? Like, is it Echmendia Mendez?
I want that
as a final.
I think that's a crazy final. I want like Bartlett, Echmendia, and Mendez.
Woods again?
Yeah, maybe Woods.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Jameson's going to drop way down because he lost. Edmund actually finally had a really good tournament. He took third. So I would imagine Jameson drops down to like 11, 12, somewhere in there.
Yeah, possible.
And Lemley's a landmine for someone. He's going to be a little lower. So is Brock Hardy. He's a landmine. Cornella, didn't he default out of EIWA?
He's not going.
He's not going to
He's not going to NCAAs?
I mean, I would be surprised.
Oh, wow. That bad, huh?
Really?
You mean you don't think he's getting a bid, or you think he will not be physically able to compete? What are you saying?
Both. I mean, he'll probably get that large. But I don't know.
He'll JD, probably go why are your shorts so short?
They're not that short. Mid-thigh.
Look short. How short this man's shorts are. Lieutenant what's Dangle? He trying to do over here?
It's what's in.
Yeah, Lieutenant Dangle over here.
Just you look ridiculous.
Yeah,
stop getting it. Scrunched up because I'm sitting.
Well, it's weird because he wears giant shirts. I don't understand.
Giant shirts, tiny shorts,
and you know,
look, it's called fashion. Look it up, Ben. You don't know about it.
Oh my god.
Yeah,
I got great fashion.
Yeah, someone pulled wearing the same Rudis shorts that they don't.
I have anymore. I have great fashion. Rudis mails me stuff. It all comes
thank
in the
you,
mail.
Rudis.
Thank you. It's the only reason he has a shirt on this show.
Josh, find the photo of Ben on like the UFC like red carpet in his
Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
It's funny to like they the people that don't know you. And
that
then...
was the only clothes I had. I'm not buying new clothes to go to a damn press conference. So then next time I said, I'm just going to wear a t-shirt and jeans.
I respect
it. Suck it.
And it's just so funny to see like the UFC casuals like jump on you that don't know you.
Yeah.
He's like, this is perfectly Ben.
Well, wasn't that the one condition you would do the awards at NCAAs is that you'll be allowed to wear flip-flops?
I'm wearing my sandals. I tried doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not He's showing not... up. They only no closed-toed shoes.
Yeah. That's
You're good. Leaving money on the table, Ben.
Hey, you actually referred to
Heat Finder.
You referred to that match, but that was Arrington Henson.
Yeah, yes. That was
which we can get to. I mean, I think we talked 41 enough. 49.
41. Fun weight class.
The Henson Arrington match is kind of the talk of ACC. Pretty, they're kind of both in like that. I'm sure Ben has some really technical name for it, but they're both kind of head outside on like a high crotch position. It was,
That's a fun position. That's what I was kind of thinking. Keegan maybe should go there. It's a little more risk because you're putting it in a 50-50. So it's, are you better there?
Yeah.
Because if you're not better there, you should probably stay where Keegan was against Carr. But if you are better there, then swim that sucker in. And then there's definitely more opportunity for scoring, but there's more opportunity to get scored on.
Yeah. So it was weird because now you got me messed up. Arrington kind of steps over the foot.
I just texted it to you, Ben, so you can watch.
Thank you.
It's a tight one. But we can bounce around while Ben reviews our footage.
I did not think it was a takedown.
Review the footage.
Yeah, I did. I did not either.
Oh.
In fact, it almost looks more like a takedown.
Where they're at right now, they're in this.
Well, you'll see when they award it. We're watching Ben watch.
There was also controversy
so exciting.
At 149 in the Big 12s with the Swiderski Jordan Williams match. Did you see this?
I did.
Oh, that match was wild.
It was
dude.
Wild. I thought it was, I mean, they hit Williams plenty for stalling.
But the takedown and the no locked hands call.
Okay, maybe I missed this part. I just kind
of
went.
It was a crucial part of the match.
Okay. Well,
his stalling was crazy. I mean, he was just going literally straight out of bounds.
Yeah.
And he was taking forever to get back to center. It was very egregious.
Well, I thought the worst part was when they gave Jordan the takedown. Maybe it was a takedown, not an egregious call, but he obviously locked his hands right after. I guess and they reviewed it, and it was right there on camera, and they didn't call locked hands.
I did not see that part.
I say no takedown in this Henson versus Arrington. Okay. Thing. He's perpendicular. He's not even close to behind him.
Yeah. I thought, I don't know why or how. And I don't know if there was a challenge. I'm kind of, we were coming back from Big Tens. I plan to get caught up on everything this week, but it's not easy.
So there's so much stuff.
There's so much. And it's all relevant. So you feel bad, but man, you can't. Yeah. Anyway,
I kind of wish.
Hey, Lovett versus Gomez was a lot of fun.
Great match.
That was a battle.
Great job by. Well, let's think. What led into that?
Matches?
Lovett beat Kasich and Gomez beat one of the Millers from Maryland.
Yeah. So okay, we can just focus on the final there. I mean, Gomez gets the first takedown, and then Lovett responds with the front trip, gets a takedown. Yep. Gomez ends up, Ridge goes down, gets an escape. Then they go neutral in the third, and man, they had that exchange where it was like, it looked like someone for sure was going to get thrown in, but they end up kind of going out of bounds and no one scores. But really fun match, and I think if you're a Michigan man, I think you feel like, hey, we narrowed the gap a little bit. You had a weird week with Olympic qualifier, and now, man, you narrowed it. But for Ridge, I think he's, he bounces back from the Parco loss. I think he should be the one seed, and he's the favorite. I think at 49, but man, it's the margins are razor thin there.
It's like the opposite of Monday morning quarterbacking because Ridge won. He made the right decision, but would you have picked Tomp?
I asked him about that
in the second.
So they thought about. They were like 0-0. You should listen to the interview. I interviewed Ridge and asked him this exact question.
I refuse to listen to any interview you ever do, but continue.
Okay, thanks. He's like that, see? But at least it's like, I know where he stands. I respect it. He's a ruthless scumbag. But Ridge was like, we talked about it. If it was 0-0 and then I had choice, I might have done it. But I had the lead and they deferred to him to see what he would do. Or I forget what happened. He deferred, and he's like, let me just get the point. He gave a better answer than I'm giving right now. But basically, it was a thought.
No, I thought it made sense. I thought it made sense. It puts him up by two. So it puts him up by 2 points because he's up 4-3. Here's why. It puts him up by 2 points. If he were to get taken down, he was going to be able to escape, which is still going to be tied. So you can give up a takedown and be able to escape for sure relatively easily and still have a tied match. So you essentially get two attempts to get a takedown.
Yeah.
So I have no issue with
it. And I think he said he might have said exactly that. Like he knew if he can't hold him down, so even if he got a takedown, he'd be all right. But yeah, that was definitely a thought. And in a different scenario, he might have done it. And, but he's also like, I'm good on my feet. I'm confident on my feet. And he said the main key for him, because obviously Gomez is so dangerous upper body. He said, he watched, because everyone remembers the Big Ten final in 2022. He just gets bombed straight to his back. And he said, my mistake there was I didn't wrestle him there. I just tried to get out of it, and I ended up getting thrown. And he's like, and then I watched Andonian wrestle, and Andonian was like, just send it. No matter what, he just sent and sent and sent. So I was like, that's why he's wrestling into it more, and he's able to, it's working out for
him. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So it was probably that and the Mitchell interview were probably the two most insightful ones.
People want to know what you guys think the seeds will be at 149.
Ridge.
Oof.
Parco,
Arrington.
And Henson.
Yeah. Let's talk about
Waters looked really good.
Oh, baby. Let's talk about the Fighting Brackeys getting a Big 12 champion. Outstanding performance by the West Virginia Mountaineers, catapulted by Ty Waters.
Listen to Waters.
He's a bad boy.
Tech fall, major tech fall, and I think he was up 8-0 on Williams or 8-1 when that finished.
I was openly mocked when I drafted this man. What they said was
who mocked you
at the in the fantasy draft?
Nobody mocked you.
Oh yeah,
I don't recall this.
John Kozak. See, this is
you're gaslighting yourself.
They're doing it. They're doing it again.
This is so crazy.
Listen, we've been on Waters since.
Yeah, we visited West Virginia. We're great.
I watched him win the Pennsylvania State.
Kozak
before he was even Bracky's boy, and Bracky put him on you.
Kozak said, he's like, you could have got him a couple rounds later. I don't know why you would take him so soon.
And well, that's Faye probably too. True.
No, you can't risk that this kind of talent.
That is not being openly mocked for drafting
openly
him.
Mocked.
That is someone saying.
Openly
that
mocked.
That is Kozak saying, you probably could have got him later. Yeah. I was openly mocked.
Openly
Get
mocked.
Out of here.
Ridiculed. Ridiculed. It was horrible. But you know what? At the end of it all, Ty is a big, I don't know where he's going to be ranked or seated, but he's had a really good year. He lost to Swiderski. He lost to, I forget, he had a couple other losses there, but he's interesting. He's so good on top. Very dominant. We lost Ben for a little bit. I'm not sure what's actually
I would have liked
happening.
To, I'm right here.
Okay. Yeah, I know. But
my daughter's home sick and she's trying to convey something to me.
Oh,
so I'm trying to ask her.
She can just say
what
it,
she needs.
Unless it's, well, maybe private. Never mind.
I would have liked to see Swiderski Waters rematch in the finals, selfishly. Yeah.
So his losses were to Swiderski, Ty Whalen, Willie McDougald.
Yep.
And Cale
Vincent. That's a bad one.
Yeah. Well, McDougald was the 2 seed here, but he did not do well at Big 12s.
Yes. And
losses
don't
matter,
believe he had
though.
A great year because I looked Willie McDougald up because I was surprised he was a 2 seed when I saw it. And I thought he had have a decent amount of losses, but maybe he's had the good Big Ten matches, I think is what it was.
Ty's fantastic.
Yeah, he's 14-8, guys. He's not
not
great.
What are Ty's best wins of the season?
Kenan Webster, who's not wrestling anymore, right?
Doesn't count.
He's not wrestling.
He's like pretty much the best guy on here.
So he could get him.
Really?
I mean,
Tom Crook's a solid win. Munson's it's all right. Cannon Webster, Alvarez, maybe not. Ooh, he's gonna be a landmine then.
He is. He get like a 12 or something weird.
Yeah.
I sent the one like Casey Swiderski's reaction to losing to Williams to Josh, and
he took it in stride.
He was throwing a fit.
Oh yeah, that one.
Pretty yeah.
He was fired up.
You can see. I don't
know. Yeah, he's a fiery.
And they made him go back on the mat.
Yeah, he was yelling at John Smith.
In my ideal world,
that's not what I would do.
At 65 kilograms, we see Casey Swiderski versus Austin DeSanto at the Olympic trials.
What?
Wait, talk about fireworks.
Why will Casey Swiderski be at the Olympic trials?
To try and make the Olympic team?
I know. How is he going to get there?
NCAAs?
Win NCAAs?
Okay.
Yeah.
He said in his ideal universe, Christian.
All right. I guess that's where we're at. Yeah. It is.
Sure.
It's not.
Now we're ridiculing a man's fantasies.
Maybe it's 2028 Olympic trials.
Mm-hmm. Dude, Austin DeSanto versus. That sounds like a stalemate sort of move. That's a street league match.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a free idea. DeSanto versus Casey Swiderski. Then we'll get Tyler. Tyler can wrestle. Who do we want Tyler to wrestle?
Over under number of punches thrown.
Yeah. They got it. They each need to get a certain allotment.
See, that's the thing. Like, how are the stalemates guys going to rip them off of each other? Like, they're not going to have like a bunch of teams there to like pull these guys off each other.
You hire Younger Bastida. He can intervene. You can just go boom, throw these guys out of the way. All right, let's keep it moving. That's a lot.
Let's talk about Henson versus, I'm drawing a blank on, Arrington. Yeah.
Well, we did. Bad call.
I don't think we talked about it, did we?
Yes. Yep,
extensively.
Whatever, dude. I woke up at 3:50 in the morning today.
You definitely didn't. Let's go to, I think you woke up at around 10 o'clock based on the time you arrived here. I woke up in Hyattsville, Maryland, and I beat Tyler into the office today, who lives in Austin,
Beautiful
Texas.
Hyattsville.
Don't care.
All right, 57. You get the brag here. Let's go. We'll go on. We kind of already talked about him. How bad do you believe Michael Blakas is hurt?
I don't know, but you
defaulted out.
You have to assume when they default out of conferences, it's not good because
not good.
You're punished now more than ever for doing so.
And we saw less defaults because of that, which I think is tremendous.
It is tremendous.
We got to talk about the Chittum Downey match, which is maybe one of the matches.
Are we
weekend.
Going longer than an hour and a half today? Because we kind of need more than an hour.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
half,
only have 20
so
minutes.
I don't know
left.
What you guys got to
We got a boogie, here. Boys. That's why I'm trying to keep it.
Well,
back.
Let's just tell them we're going to do this longer. We're going to be here a little longer
today.
We
may not be able to. Tough. I don't know what's after
why
this.
Why not? Tyler, we're staying longer today. You can't kick us out. No, there, it's done.
It'll be it's not. Tyler is not even producing the show, so that's not helpful. it's a fellow.
Who's producing it? Just tell me.
Your boy Josh
Skurnick. Skurnick, you stay your butt in that office. We're talking a little longer today.
He's got the power here, so I don't know if he says.
I just asked him. I've been his captain. 30 minutes longer.
I've been his captain since 2005 or 2006. So yeah,
he's openly insubordinate. Yeah, once a cat. Yeah,
he better not be.
I kind of wish
I gave that man some beatings back in the day.
Oh my gosh. I kind of wish brackets didn't come out for a few more days. Like, we get them Wednesday, so we'll get.
Love it. I can't wait.
Ooh. I know, but like, we can't even digest everything that just happened. Like,
I know.
Give me like five days.
Hey, Ben.
Scheduling. We're just doing this live on the air. Remember, I'm flying Thursday morning. Are we going to go Wednesday?
Or yeah,
are you
guys kicking
me off the show?
Yes. It's happening Wednesday. I moved it.
Yes.
Thank you. I would have forgotten to tell the people. Okay, 57. Listen.
People, there we go.
Beautiful people. The beautiful people.
57 was Chittum's to win, and they put him down. What are they doing?
I don't know why they did that. Dude, those dudes were scrapping. That was some really good scrambles. People were saying, you know, Chittum didn't have the ability to finish, but Downey was really scrappy, and he really kept wrestling through a few of those positions. And yes, if Chittum would have had a few more tricks, he would have finished, but Downey wrestled really hard.
Well, I would also say it wasn't just Chittum not finishing. I really thought my mind thinks about this match, I think about Chittum almost sitting to the corner a couple times off of Ryder's attacks. So I feel like
that's what I'm saying. He had that. He had the neutral danger where he would do like the crotch lift and like send him back, and he would usually get one or two swipes. I think it happened three or four times, and then Downey was able to continue to wrestle through it and keep himself out of danger and not give up a takedown.
Yeah, those two are great. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you haven't seen the match, it's a 3-3 overtime match, and then nothing happens. I mean, a lot happens, actually. No scores happen in sudden victory.
Happens, yes.
They go to tiebreakers, and it's really weird how Chittum was able to ride out Downey, because it seemed like he's not going to be able to hold him down. And then he gets a restart, and boom, he's able to just seemingly easily throw a side headlock, get legs in, and then almost got near fall, but then rides him out.
I know we don't have time for this, Christian, but how dumb is it that they're counting for stalling while you're almost holding a man on his back?
I mean, I
can't think of anything. That is the epitome of stupid. Like, holy crap. He's getting near fall, and you're counting for a stall.
Is that why you and I challenged? Because they challenged in that position.
I did not know that was a rule.
No, Iowa State tried to get near fall. Iowa State tried to get near
fall. Oh, Iowa State challenged?
Actually,
yeah. I was watching without sound. For some reason, I thought you and I.
Hey, by the way, Josh said we can go 30 minutes longer than you.
What a beast.
Yes.
Incredible.
Oh. Can you guys just agree with me that that is the epitome of stupid? That they're counting for stalling while someone's holding someone?
I guess I didn't even realize that.
It's the embodiment of stupid.
I didn't even realize they were doing it because I was watching.
Yeah, so they're doing a side headlock count while it is, first of all, just think about if you're a fan, you 100% think he's getting swipes because I don't think it was near fall, but it was crazy.
I don't think so either.
It was crazy close. But the idea that Chittum is stalling there is just patently insane. Just let that wrestle out. I mean, maybe they have to.
So insane.
There should be something where if their bellies are on the mat and your side head, like, fine, you can count it. But if they're breaking.
Yeah, if they're facing the mat.
If they're
in near fall criteria or very close to near fall criteria, let them wrestle. What the hell?
Yeah, just relax. Like,
oh my God.
These rules people.
But Ryder Downey, what he wanted on that, because I don't know if you noticed Ryder Downey was complaining. I think Ryder Downey wanted, it would have been the third caution, a false start, because Chittum got there real fast. And that was actually the exact same situation where Chittum got cautioned for the point in the next set of overtimes.
Yep.
Shane Sparks, 2.9 cautions.
Oh, yeah. Those cautions killed Shane Sparks. So he, but anyways, I'm trying to get to the actual thing. Tiebreakers, Chittum rides him out for 30 seconds. So all he has to do is look at the ref and do this.
You're making a neutral sign for the people just
right here. If you're just listening, it's just what you tell the ref when you just want to start standing. And then just don't get scored on for 30 seconds. And you win the match. He had been ridden 2 minutes straight by Ryder Downey. He goes down.
Yes.
And there's so much. And Dresser sort of owned it in the interview with Andy. Like, yeah, we messed that up. I was focused on this. Chaos in the corner. But you got to, man, that's just, That's just got, you got to be elated when he gets that ride out because you don't have to go under.
Yes.
I just don't know what, literally, I know I tweeted about it the second it happened, only because Caleb, the second it happened, he's like, why didn't he go neutral? Like,
yeah.
It was a moment of pride.
Yeah. You know, one thing the referees are doing a good job of since we've complained about a few things here, Christian?
I thought it was, whole well officiated weekend.
But they're doing a really good job. And I can't remember there was another match where it was actually a while, maybe it might have been Volk and Spratly, where if the bottom person gets to his feet and is not actually trying to escape, and the top person is trying to do return, they won't call him for stalling.
Yes.
Which is how it should be. Because if the bottom person just stand there like waiting for a stall call and the top person's making a concerted effort to return them, they should not be called for stalling because they are actually attempting something and the bottom person is actually not attempting anything.
At what point do you call the bottom man?
I love stalling. How they're calling that.
I agreed. I thought there were a couple scenarios where like I almost felt like antsy and jittery, like, oh, they're going to hit him. They're going to hit him. And they kept letting it go. I was like, oh, I like this.
Which was perfect.
I think it was 25, but I thought I saw it in another time.
I think it was 25.
Yeah, it was at Big 12s. I think it was Spratly.
Yeah, but it was
riding.
57 as well. 57 was similar.
The rule isn't you have to return them. People love to say you have to return them. You don't. You have to make an effort to return.
And it's sort of hard to game that. I feel it is. Hard to fake trying to return, especially if the guy is genuinely trying to get away, right?
So. Well, no. It's when the bottom guy is genuinely trying to not do anything that's when it's harder to return them, right? They know if I just stay on my feet and I do this thing and I'm not actually trying to turn, because actually sometimes when they're trying to escape, when they actually are trying to legitimately escape, you have a more they obviously have the opportunity to escape, but you have a better opportunity to return them. And when they're just standing there and doing nothing, that's when it's the most difficult.
Yeah. This was a great match, though. Their match last time was fantastic. Yes. Chittum, man, he's interesting. I think he's super dangerous. He makes some mistakes, but he can do some pretty, pretty fantastic stuff. I thought he was going to win this tournament. I think that's my prediction.
Hey, number two, Vinny Zerbin, DNPs in this bracket. Yeah, we didn't mention that yet. So he lost.
Hill?
Hill
from Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. So Jared Hill got like a body lock takedown on him, and Zerbin was not able to get a takedown in the third period. And he got a stall call, and then Mahler beats him in the blood round to knock him out of the tournament.
Whoa!
Those scrambles were crazy in overtime. Also,
wow. Yeah, that's crazy for Zerbin.
It was wild.
Bigger surprise: Ryder Downey, Braden Davis, Zach Glacier.
Zach Glacier.
I think it's Glacier.
For sure.
Oh, for now, okay. For the season or for...
Yeah, season, because going into Big 12 or Big 10, okay. You're taking Glacier to...
Sure. Man, it's close. I mean, I think it's Glacier because with a true freshman, it's always a possibility.
We had data on Glacier.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, data that he was not good.
Yeah. He's 9-7.
You guys hate acknowledging that he has a win over a national champ.
That was this year. I'm saying coming into this year.
Whatever.
Technically, that was in 2023, but it was
last year, guys. This season. Now you guys are gaslighting me.
So much gas.
Because, Downey's an Iowa kid, so I obviously knew about him. But, I mean, you're telling me Big 12 champ. When he's coming out of high school at age, I'm probably saying, maybe not yet.
Freshman?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
These seeds are going to be wild at 57. So Haynes is your obvious one. I think Teamer goes two. Maybe Meyer three. And then who knows?
Man, who knows?
Could be anything.
Because all these guys that were kind of stalwarts, it's going to be a crazy – and this is – I think it's like the deepest weight in the country. I think we've said that probably, but it's fantastically deep it's interesting. You know, you got Levi who, we were saying kind of a runaway, but then Willowan once again makes it kind of interesting. Does that win how he won cast a little bit of doubt on that?
I mean, right. If he blows him out and it's 12-2, you feel significantly more confident. I mean, I still think that he's a, would be a significant betting favorite, mm-hmm. but if he would have won 12-2, it would be even further. Hey, I don't know. Hi. You put that online on Friday night, Christian, about Penn State only being -600. I'm like, oh my God, should I put my life savings on that? Because that is the most free money ever.
I couldn't believe it. -600 was, and within like,
Not even huge
that's
odds.
That's not a gamble. That's an investment.
Yeah, that's just an investment. That's like seriously. That's like putting money in your 401k. It's happening.
-600.
You want to know on the team front? So you know we run the pre-seed scores. What it you know washes out, and they were about a 50-point favorite, right? Carter doesn't wrestle a match, and they won by 47. Yes. So think about the overperformance in the seeds versus reality and the bonus versus project. Like, they won by so much without the runaway favorite to win that weight class. Yes. That it was, they really wrestled well. I mean, they finished first, third, second, third, first, DNP, second, first.
You know, it's crazy though.
At Big Tens.
That is crazy. But at the same time, you're kind of like, eh, they were probably thinking Bo was going to win. You know, they were probably got the production they wanted out of KSAC.
Penn State's got some work to do. with Bo, it's – and also, a thing with them is they've won, 10 out of the last whatever. But they've only won, like, four now, five Big Tens. Like they,
no, it was eight. They said eight. But it's less than the amount of national titles they have, yes. To your point.
So it's notable. That you know, right. you think about, all right, Bo, could Bo over reverse his result? Absolutely. Could Bernie beat Salazar? Absolutely. You know, so there's opportunities for Ace in that final test still. And then let's just go to 74 because we haven't said the name's Carter Storace yet. But
that's kind of wild.
No matter what happened at Big Tens, it was going to be the biggest story coming out. And I really thought the day before.
Yes, you guys were gaslighting us that he was going to wrestle.
Well, no, we were.
Well, wrestling. I can't believe you.
Now I don't even think you know what gaslight means. that's what I'm saying.
It means make me believe something other than what the truth is.
No, that's not what it means.
We're just reporting the facts.
That's just called lying. We just.
Oh, well, I didn't want to go that far and call you guys liars, but if you're going to talk about yourself that way.
All we did was show that that Penn State made a tweet or a video.
No. I recall reading a specific tweet that said you liked Carter's gait.
No. I said I was analyzing his gait. This is another guess.
It looked good.
Not even
you
what
said
I said.
I have the tweet right in front of me. Yes, Christian said I love Carter's gait. That was the tweet.
Yes. I knew it.
No, I'm kidding. He did say gait analyzer here or something like that. I don't even have it in front of me.
You're a hard person to do this show with, Ben.
What is this gate?
You just like.
What am I missing?
Gate. You don't even know what gate means.
It's like a thing you open to get in the.
No. Your gate is like your manner of walking, and so you know they had that.
I don't use this half vocabulary.
Who's the nerd now?
Well, I could
be AI today. We're torching you.
Yeah. Well, listen.
Just use walk. Christian, I know what walk means.
You tweeted a lot this weekend.
Yeah.
You kind of tweeted a lot. I'm trying to scroll back. You kind of have a lot of tweets.
Yeah, I tweeted a lot.
Yeah, I'm
going to find it.
Wait, are we going to talk about the thing or not? Are we going to
microanalyze? Is Carter Storace going to wrestle at NCAAs?
Yes. He's going to wrestle at NCAAs.
Wait, so
can we pull up his tweet?
How about that tweet he put up, though?
I don't.
I mean, I don't believe it, obviously.
Yeah, no. Listen, this tweet, I don't know. I throw this out.
You don't want to pull it up?
I'm not really.
Okay, let's pull it up.
If you can live under a rock, didn't see it. After injury defaulting out, Carter Storace tweeted, looking forward to a new chapter. Thank you, Penn State, forever.
He's going to wrestle.
Buy it.
But, yeah, come on. He's fired up, maybe a little bit disappointed he didn't wrestle. But
it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes, it sounds like he wanted to wrestle, and Kale said, nah, you don't need to, which is probably the right decision.
Yeah.
I got it. Activating gait analyzer, Storace looks in good spirits.
Yeah, Those are two separate statements.
Have you? Why are you like gate? You've tweeted the word gate multiple times in the past. Last time you have many. You tweeted like four times in 2018 talking about Jason Nolf.
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Nolf's gate was a topic of
this
discussion.
This is a real tweet. Christian said, "A strong, confident gate. I'll put him at 92% based on that walk." That's tweeted that about
obvious
Jason Nolf 5 years ago.
That's funny. I'm just being a funny guy. I obviously can't assess a gate in percentages. And I was right. He actually destroyed everyone at NCAAs that year.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So my gate analyzer has been accurate. But yeah, the Carter thing, I don't know.
It wasn't accurate Friday.
No, the gate's fine.
Yeah, you said he was in high spirits.
He was in high spirits. He smiled.
He did smile.
That changed.
I think, you know, I don't know why, you know, the decision to not, I mean, obviously we know why he didn't wrestle is his injury, but, you know, did he think he was going to go? I think they like to keep them thinking they're in the mindset that they're going to compete, whether they are or they aren't. And, you know, Carter's a passionate guy. I mean, he had the fact, I also wonder this, like the idea that he had to take the mat and have some other dude get his hand raised just had to drive him insane. Instead of like,
insane.
Instead of like,
the fact they had to walk out there
and like, and then Andrew Sparks now has a win over me. Like, what is this reality? Like, I think coming to terms with that, I haven't lost since Michael Kimmer at the Big Tens in 2021, my freshman year. And now I have two losses. Like, I can
officially see, on my record,
officially on his record. And maybe I can't win that. So I think that's not an easy thing to come to terms with. It's a deeply personal sport. And I think, come NCAAs, I think he's on the mat and wrestling. I think his response shows you that he really thinks he can wrestle. And listen, they've got also
in that he wants to.
If they didn't think he could wrestle, they would have entered Terrell Barraclough and wrestled him. Like, you can talk about the Suriano thing all you want, but they didn't have another option. They didn't have a Terrell Barraclough. They didn't have a Josh Barr in redshirt. That there was no other option. And
hey, Christian, the chat's got a really funny,
oh no, really Ben, funny
thing for you. It's called, they said you have a great gate dar.
I was worried you were gonna read a different comment.
So. No, don't. He won't. Yeah. Why'd you say that?
No, which one? No.
Tyler, are you simple? What's wrong with you?
Now I don't know which one you're talking about.
Yeah, let's just move on.
Good luck. Okay. He can't let anything go.
They don't sell those gate darts at Sharp Image.
No, yeah, like, they do. Oh, they were they do, but they're sold out right now. Yeah, I'm good. Listen, did I study sports medicine? Maybe. All right. So I feel like are we talking about this or not?
All right, 74.
I think Carter's just
well, someone earlier in the chat asked if Edmund Ruth had the easiest
incredibly yes
to a Big Ten championship
ever.
How tremendous.
It's insane.
And then he danced about it. It was great.
He danced. I mean, it's not. I mean, you should take that if you're.
You should dance, yeah.
Because Griffith, I don't know. You know, that didn't look good either.
Yeah.
Concerning for NCAAs.
Concerning.
Yeah. Very sad.
Maybe we can send Christian on a top secret mission and send him to Michigan in a disguise.
Yeah,
and he can
look
at the
glasses. Yeah.
We need to convince Shane, going back to last week's show, we need to convince him that Michigan is shutting down its program. that injury might heal itself.
That's, yeah. I think you have to run like a Truman Show type of scenario and just create an entire world around Shane Griffith where, Shane, word just came down. Program's done.
All Olympic sports ride on you winning.
What should we do? Man, now with 174.
It's going to be wild. The seating's
going to
be
ridiculous. Everyone's going to make a prediction on 174, and you are going to base it on total. It's totally reliant on the health
conjecture.
Or the injury. Yeah, conjecture is a great word. Because you have
too big for me.
You have no idea about Carter.
With Shane.
Well, Christian, how's it going to be seated? Makai 1, Kate DeVos 2?
Yes.
So that's wild.
Well, like, what are the chances we get like a crazy quarterfinal in this bracket? I haven't. Ben, you have the best bracket math.
No, he messed it up last time.
No, I messed it up last week. I did mess it up. I got the rounds flipped in my head.
Yeah.
For 33.
You still did a couple there that were very impressive, though.
Like, I have no idea, but, like, is there a chance we get, like, a 4 Starachi, 5 Griffith or something like that? Like, something.
Yeah. I wouldn't even consider that crazy.
Well, so the Big Ten's finished with Welsh in third. And Kennedy in fifth, which, you know, those guys were ranked. Kennedy was number 5 nationally and on your guys' rankings. And then Welsh was 13. So Welsh is going to go pretty high. Mm-hmm. EIWA's was Canigliaro, correct? No, Wolak won. Lennox Wolak won.
Because Benny Baker beat Canigliaro in the semis.
Yeah, it's Canigliaro. So, he would have been, dude, if he'd have won EIWA's, he'd have been like the 3.
Now
he crushed himself.
So Ruth probably goes like 3 or 4 somewhere in there. Yeah, who knows what they're going to do? It's going
to
be ridiculous.
Yeah, because he's going to get a legit. Now, he doesn't get a Starachi win, but he gets a Griffith win in the Matrix.
Yes.
And conference title.
Which
is a criteria.
Yep. Crazy. It's a. Yeah, 74. It's going to be we're going to be talking about it for 2 weeks. We're not going to know. You know, I thought the point I was trying to make was that I thought the media that Penn State put out leading up to Big Tens was so overtly Carter. I feel like if they knew they were going to forfeit him, you don't really lean into Carter and do the smile thing and do the. So I felt like I looked into the day before.
We're also super analyzed.
Hold on. The day before, I was like, oh, he's probably wrestling. Because they have 10 great wrestlers. Why? Everyone knows that we're not overanalyzing. Everyone knows that the entire focus of the wrestling eyes are on Carter Starachi. And to show that made me think he was going. And I don't think Penn State plays games like that at all. So I genuinely think they probably thought he was going to wrestle at that point. And who knows? Who knows why? Maybe something happened in the warm-up. They didn't like what they saw, but they're pragmatic, and I don't think.
Hey, I just looked up Edmund Roos' wrestle stat. Dude, he might get the 1 or the 2 because he only has 2 losses, one of which is to Keegan, which doesn't count. So he has 1 loss to Patrick Kennedy, but he has wins over In Contrera, Canigliaro. He has.
Makai's undefeated conference champion, though.
Okay, so he's 1. Yeah. So then, I mean, he could be 2 because he's got 2 Welsh wins. He's got the Shane Griffith win.
He's got
a pretty damn good resume.
As the Kennedy loss.
Hey, Keegan for Hodge now. Bumping up.
Who knows?
Big Ten champ.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know.
I mean, at this point, with the way Aaron Brooks actually decided to wrestle in the conference finals, feel like it's probably going to be him.
Yeah, he's going to be tough.
He has been insanely dominant.
He's going to be tough. I mean, he has 1 non-bonus, and he just bonused that guy dominantly.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, Keegan. Yeah, I don't want to talk about Hodge, I guess, yet, but 74.
Yeah, the Glacier Big Ten dual match was so weird because he, like, just chose not to try.
He was sick.
And then when he tries, he just smashes him.
Yeah. Yeah. There was illness stuff going on there.
Okay.
He was down with the sickness. Obviously, because Glazier's wrestling well, right? That's the difference. The difference was Aaron. You know, Glazier beat Jackson Smith in overtime. Strong performance from Brooks, no doubt.
Yeah, so that bracket's going to probably go Brooks, Hadley are 1-2. Sloan probably gets the 3. Beard probably gets the 4, I'm guessing. That's what happens.
Most likely. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Elam beat Buchanan. 84 is not important. We already bragged on Parker.
We talked about Parker. No one else matters. So Pinto goes down to Truax.
Truax.
Mm-hmm.
And Salazar, who did Salazar?
Salazar beat Bullock in the semis.
Jaden, yeah.
Yes, because Bullock beat Rogatsky.
Jaden wrestled Pinto really tough. Jaden Bullock, this is an interesting guy because he still has 3 years left after this, even though he's like in his third or fourth year at college.
Yeah.
So
how does he have so many years left?
It's because the rules.
COVID, redshirt,
medical.
COVID.
Science. Politics.
Vibes. You say vibes?
Vibes. There's a vibe shirt.
Yeah, so he is in his fourth year of college. WrestleStat does not have him down as having a red shirt, but he obviously could have a red shirt. So at most, he has 2 years left.
No. Oh, yeah. No.
21 didn't count.
I'm telling you, he has
21 didn't count, and then he has 3 years, so one of them is a red shirt. If one of them is a red shirt, then he has 2 years left.
Well, this year and then two more.
Correct. Two more after this.
I don't think – I talked to Leah Howard explicitly about it. She's like, 3 years left.
Well, that she might have been including.
There's
this
no
year.
Way he has 3 years left. I'm looking at his WrestleStat right now. All right,
well, maybe I misunderstood.
She may have been including this year. You know what I mean?
Okay, maybe.
Three postseasons. Yeah,
probably what
three
it
postseasons.
Is. Yeah, so the, man, the Big 12, the Big 12 was actually way tougher than the Big 10 at 184. The Big 12 at 184, I mean, Feldkamp, All-American last year, finished at sixth place.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Christian's wrong, so he's just on his phone now.
No, I'm just going to look it up. I don't think I am wrong.
There's no way. All right, so Sam Wolf, man, I haven't watched him too much. He's really scrappy. Oh, my gosh. But Dustin Plott beat the tar out of him. He had the win over Berge. He had a crazy win over Feldkamp. Two wins over Berge. Crazy win over Feldkamp. Plott beat him really bad in the semis. Plott loses to Kekeyes in. Hawks has two wins over Feldkamp. It was actually kind of really funny how
why did
Wolf
they go
with Berge twice. And
did Missouri do a wrestle off?
No,
I was a little
they
surprised they went with Hawks.
They went with Feldkamp. They went with Hawks because he had the Feldkamp win and he had the Salazar win. So two top 10 wins. You know, unfortunately, Clayton did not. He had three top 10 matches. Unfortunately, he lost them all. So he lost to Foca, Plott, and Wolf. So they thought Hawks' resume was better. So, I mean, that's really unfortunate because Clayton had a really good year.
He did. Used him a little more too, especially recently, but maybe I'm misremembering.
Hawks wrestled a few at the end.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be right yet again. 2021 doesn't count. 2022 redshirt, 2023 injury year. He'll get a medal.
There's no injury on
here. Okay.
He wrestled four matches. His last match was in November. He could easily get an injury year.
That's an asterisk.
WrestleStat has an ambulance by it if it's injury.
WrestleStat is not the authority.
No,
on
they shirts. Know everything, Christian. They know everything.
You can also retroactively add one.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you should have said that.
I said what is true, and you guys just have to fight me on every little thing.
Well. You should have said that.
Debatable.
Right. I did say
Kyle's from Michigan. If this were true, he would know it.
He doesn't know anything.
That's so
all right,
crazy.
Let's talk, Christian. Let's talk about the Big 12s at 184 and how good it was. I was trying to talk about it. You're all distracted, not even paying attention.
Well, I was trying to see if I had misled America or you did. And
is Parker now like the second biggest favorite at NCAAs?
Honestly, I looked at the field at 184 and I'm like, I mean, honestly, even – feels like he's even bigger than Brooks because he's whooped everybody, and Brooks has Heidley, and Heidley is really, really good.
Yeah, right. That's a good point.
Yeah.
It feels like he is.
He's up there. I would say, this season, and I don't know if it's because it's 184, why this is in my mind, but the last guy I remember having kind of see, it made me think about Miles Martin in 2019. Where he was so far and away the best guy that entire year. And then freaking got upset.
Don't you be throwing juju my man's
I'm not
way.
Juju.
Don't you be doing it.
I'm just
you
saying.
You keep your voodoo to yourself.
Go back
Christian
and look
Piles.
At that season.
Same weight.
Him and Bernie had a
I
close
know,
match.
He was great. I remember.
Very close.
I remember.
Bernie was.
But do you remember who won nationals that year? What school they
Ruth
were from?
Foster, you and I. The sixth seed.
Ooh, 184, you.
For sure. I'm not
actually, did you hear that stat last night? I don't know if you were watching, but they said I think it's seven Big 12 titles in a row at 184 for Northern Iowa. It's kind of crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Shout out Randy Pugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think Doug Schwab does those
oh,
guys.
Yeah.
I think Doug Schwab's Parker's main training partner.
Panther train, baby.
Randy Pugh, I have an embarrassing thing to admit.
I whoop a lot of dudes, but Randy Pugh shut me out twice when I was 18, and I'm kind of still embarrassed about it.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I know. I couldn't score on that son of a gun. I'm going to go try to fight him now.
Dang it, man.
Wes Roberts and Randy Pugh, line them up. I want to knock them down.
Did we ever talk about the fact that we tried really hard to get Wes Roberts on this show?
Yes. We talked about that.
Yeah, we did. We tried.
All right. Hey, I think we're actually not going to need the full 30 minutes.
Shut out Ben yet again.
Shut up.
Shut you down. Wes Roberts is
Let's just talk
undefeated.
About how awesome Younger versus Hendrickson was.
Well,
that match was fire.
Before we move on to heavyweight, yeah. I want to put some respect on Tanner Sloan's name.
Yeah.
I feel like
oh, yeah.
probably because he didn't go to an in-state
nah,
school.
He kind of stalled. I thought they should have called him for stalling. He went backwards very hard in the third period. I'm not. Elam took like 7 shots, and my man just ran backwards. Stay in the fight.
As I was saying.
How many shots did Elam
take?
This great
Big 12 champion doesn't get enough respect from Iowans, probably because he wasn't a highly touted recruit coming out of high school and he didn't stay in state, but this man, he's putting on for 1A Iowa.
He's very good. He is very good. But, you know, I could have seen a stall point happening there.
All right. So, 97, nothing else really happened there, right?
Yeah.
Nothing. ACC Trent is just killing everybody.
Yeah. Beard mm-hmm. beat Cardenas in the finals of EIWAs.
Trent Brooks is, man, I refuse to write it off as great as Aaron Brooks is.
I agree.
He's crazy, bro. He has killed everyone. It is, I will not next topic that weight. I will pick Aaron.
I agree.
But I'm pretty sure, but man, is Trent looking really good. But
who do you think will be bigger?
Trent's big. Probably Aaron.
Probably Aaron.
I think they'll both weigh about 199 pounds.
I think they'll both weigh in day of 197.
On Saturday night?
Just kidding.
They'll probably make weight.
Don't you get a pound?
Yeah.
You get a pound each day. So
oh, my God.
Okay, so you were making the same joke that
Caleb is so
correct.
Okay.
he was getting in there at looking at the weigh-ins. He's like, Dad, Drake weighed 125.8. I was like, oh, they get a pound. And then he starts looking through it. He's like, Braxton Brown missed weight. He's 136, and he just got entered wrong. So we're like, he was looking at everyone's weight class. And one day he's like, Nash Huttmacher weighed 280 pounds.
Hey, Nash Huttmacher.
Shout out.
Some improvement in like 2 or 3 months or whatever he's been wrestling.
That's not easy.
I'll resend my biggest surprise of the year statement. I'll put in Nash Huttmacher because I didn't think he was going to wrestle.
So true.
And now he's an NCAA qualifier.
Yeah, what a beast. I'm trying to think if there's anything else at 97. I suppose not.
Not really. I'll go through all the top guys with you. Aaron Brooks, Heidley, Jackson Smith. He lost to Glazier.
Yep.
And Tanner Sloan.
He lost to Allred what? Also.
Oh, he did lose to Allred. You're right. Sloan beats Elam. Elam beat Buchanan in the semis. Beard beat Cardenas. Cardenas beat De Perez in the semis. That's correct, right?
Mm-hmm. He did.
De Perez, yes.
Stephen Little won the Pac-12s.
He's tough.
So, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, pretty chalky. All right, good. Good job there. And then heavyweight, yeah, Younger Wyatt lived up to it. I thought
– it was awesome.
You know, the opening exchange – or it wasn't the opening exchange, but how Younger – I mean – first of actually, how he landed on his foot was so scary. Like, basically 500 pounds all came down on his, like, right foot, seemingly.
Wait, we're talking about when he dumped him on his back?
Yeah, he's like this. His foot's in the air, and it looked like that was the first thing that hit the ground. You should go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, but it's flat.
No, I thought he landed, like, on the side of it.
Oh, okay. I thought it was flat, but I will rewatch it.
He obviously doesn't get
that was crazy. His balance, how he dumped that way. I totally didn't see that coming, and apparently Wyatt Hendrickson did not see that one coming either.
I've obviously been far too slow on this, and I've always really enjoyed Younger, but I was just never able to get to. He can go with Kirkfleet. I just was never there, and now I'm like, all right, this is way too late for me to make this proclamation, but it's so obviously a thing.
What did you think?
Yes.
to switch to Big Ten's real quick, when Nick Feldman got the first takedown.
I thought nothing.
Feldman's been getting a lot better.
I thought nothing, but I thought Nick Feldman's really wrestling good. He beat Davison again, which if you watched that match the first time, you're like, he pulled it out, but how
I was really surprised.
How replicable is this? His defense is when you're on his leg, he's pretty freaking fantastic at counter scoring. And then he's really good. He's really good, but I was like, he's not going to be able to do it, and he's not going to get away from Greg.
Correct.
I feel. So he's got to go neutral. Greg did a good job there. But yeah, Feldman's coming on. I mean, now, if you want to pivot a little bit, I do think he's someone that could go on a really deep run at NCAAs. I don't think he's a title.
Who, Feldman?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, he's really good. He's come a long way.
You have to think that at this point.
He's come a long way throughout the season. You know, he had some rough patches. You know, he had
a tough CKLV.
Tough CKLV. I mean, Tay Gadali smashed him. He had a couple dominant losses.
I mean, there's still times where on bottom he looks like, damn, if someone is able to get on top of him, they're going to keep him down for a while.
Yeah, it does feel far from automatic and that he should probably not choose it very often. But
yes,
if he's coming at you hard for 7 minutes straight, he's going to beat a lot of guys. He's a fun guy to watch. I'm happy for him to have that success after what happened to him last year. But no, not for a second, I think.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to get back to the younger Kirkfleet discussion, which I think is going to be the discussion.
I need another younger meme drop before NCAA.
Yeah. That was so great.
Gotta love his meme drop.
It was so funny when they played it on there. It's like, oh my gosh, they're playing.
They put it on the broadcast?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Too. Yes.
It was great. But to go back to that match, another thing I don't want to do is dismiss Wyatt in this conversation because now he gave up that.
Not dismissed.
He gave up that six, which in most matches is basically at a high level match, you give up six pointer. It's so hard to come back. He was coming back. He cut it to a 1 point deficit. Younger got warned for stalling. There's 50 seconds to go. Wyatt just gets the takedown to cut it to one. And at that point in time, there's two things he could do. He could try to ride out and get a turn or a stall, which he had already been warned, or kick and try to get the takedown. You know, hindsight.
I thought that was the right move.
Okay. I sort of didn't because I thought Younger has to do two things from that position. He either has to wrestle hard to get away, which could play right into Wyatt's thing. If he's flat.
Medium hard. He's got to ride medium hard.
Medium hard. Sounds like we're ordering like a hot wing here.
Sounds like Shane's saying.
No, Clark's like, okay, if his legs are flat, he's getting called for stalling. You're right. But he doesn't got to go nuts, right? He's got to like make some progress. I tried getting up. Oh, I can't get up. Oh, I tried getting up. Oh, you know, he does that. He's not getting called for stalling.
Yeah, but there's scenarios where you can be dominated from the top position and you can be made to look like you're stalling. And Wyatt Hendrickson is one of the rare guys that I think could, we don't know, but could make him look that way, force that kind of a call. So
sure,
it's either you get the ride out or you get a stall. Or so the options are you get a stall point or you can maybe even get a turn, which you're the most prolific turner at this weight. I think.
Correct.
I'm kind of always team go where your advantage is. His advantage is not neutral against Younger. Man. His advantage is from the top position.
I don't know. What
do you think Iowa State was thinking when they cut him? I think they're probably
thinking oh crap, this guy's still got 55 seconds. All he's got to do is get one takedown. That's probably what they were thinking.
I think they're probably like, yes.
I think Wyatt got a little lazy on. You know, he thought probably at that point, and it was a great move by Younger, right? So he attacks and he kind of pulls back and then Younger reattacks. And I think he was still on his knees a little bit. And that was, you know, when he gets taken down there, whereas if he kind of hustles a little harder there, maybe he gets out of there and then he's able to try to go get another takedown. But Younger wrestled a really good match. He's really good at heavyweight. He should have been at heavyweight earlier.
Apparently.
I think I said that like a month or two ago. He moves really, really well, and he's sturdy enough where he doesn't get pushed around. You know who actually would be an interesting match for him would be, and I know he beat him, but he beat him because he beat himself, is Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Feldman got Hamlin three times and I lost my damn mind about it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he kept getting spun around.
It was the same move three times. You got the man get the same move three times to one man.
It like insults Ben's sensibilities. When people
what are you doing? Do a different move.
If Ben was Nick Feldman's coach, he would have made him walk home from Akron.
His ass would have been walking home. That is for sure. I was like, bro, same move three times? You just try a different move. Try an arm drag. Try a double leg. Stop doing a head inside single and getting spun behind.
So funny.
This makes me mad just thinking about it now. And I don't even coach Feldman, and it makes me angry.
Yeah, that's so funny. He had a great tournament. Strong showing against Greg. And yeah, I think, do you feel strongly about Greg winning a title still, Ben? Or do you have an opinion?
I would think he's the favorite for sure. I think Hendrickson can wrestle him closer than he wrestled in the All-Star, for sure. Mm-hmm. I think, depending who makes it, I think that Bastida can wrestle him tough. I think Colton Schultz can probably wrestle him tough. So, I mean, those are the top four. He'll likely have, he'll have one of those, obviously, in the semi, likely, and one of those in the final.
Yeah.
I think those four guys can kind of wrestle him hard. I think beyond that, Elam's probably the five, but I don't feel like Elam's shown he has the ability to beat those four that are above him, but he's beaten all of the guys below him.
Yeah. So it was great, man, great conclusion to the Big 12s, which is a fire tournament.
Big 12s. So always, that transitions to a question. Someone asked, what was more exciting, Big 12s or Big 10s?
Well, I can't say.
Big 12s is really good, too. The finals were great.
Big 12s probably had a ton of excitement. I was at Big 10s.
Team race was a little tighter, more up in the air.
Yeah.
Iowa State locked it up in the finals early, but throughout the entire tournament, Iowa State versus Oklahoma State was a fun thing to follow, where Penn State.
Speaking of Iowa State,
There's a score. I don't know. There,
yeah, there it is.
On your screen.
Speaking of Iowa State, someone said, many coaches have built/rebuilt programs. Has any done as big a rebuild as Dresser at two programs, Virginia Tech and Iowa State?
Yeah.
A year before Dresser, Iowa State won zero duels and scored 1 point at NCAAs. In the first few years at Virginia Tech, they were last in NCAAs.
Yeah.
That's Burger King of Kings on Twitter.
So I think I still will say that what he did at Virginia Tech is way more impressive. There's no tradition. There's no in-state talent, really, other than Christiansburg, right? It's very, very little to pull from. There's no the administrative support. Like, he really built it and made it. He and Roby just tyranny of will made that happen. And Iowa State was not a great situation, but that was a program that was committed to winning, and you knew they could do it. So, but I would say
he's still done a great job.
And I think the answer to that question is no. I don't think there's anyone that's done this
with two. We've seen it with one, but with two,
man. I mean, well,
Rob Cole could enter the discussion.
Could enter it, and I'll say two,
possibly a three.
Here's what I will. I'll throw.
He didn't rebuild Cornelia.
It's an interesting.
Yes, he did.
Nah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he did. Okay. Rob Cole. Stanford,
I was confusing my schools.
Stanford doesn't count.
Yeah.
He brought Stanford back. Just kidding. It was back when they hired.
I was confusing my schools.
Hold on. Yeah. I want to say I want to throw another nominee, and he didn't get to reach the point with this school because he got scooped. But what Pat Pop did at Binghamton, that was a nothing team.
Oh yes. Mm-hmm.
You had. I mean. Tony Roby,
and
I believe.
And this goes. Yeah. I'm sorry. I've been excited this morning.
I know.
I'm frustrated because I just keep freaking talking and I won't shut up. My bad.
But people don't know. Like, Binghamton was a throwaway. Like, Tony Roby was the head coach there and left Binghamton to be the assistant at Virginia Tech, which, like, maybe in some people's mind doesn't make sense. Obviously, the right move. But then Pat goes there. They got Lister. They had.
Quiz,
and they had a kid named Josh Patterson who was like a crazy pinner. So he's like
tough 184.
And yep, Ben remembers. And then
I think Max beat him in the All-Star, actually.
Okay. Yeah.
I believe.
That maps. And so then Pat, he really had Binghamton coming, and then he goes to NC State. So you kind of can't really tell because he didn't get to fully do it at Binghamton, but they were they were coming along.
No, they were on their way.
And now look at NC State. I mean, they're putting some kind of distance between them and Virginia Tech. As great as Virginia Tech is, now it's been a couple duels, it's interesting.
So what I was going to say to you is one of my pet peeves is when people say, oh my God, this program has potential, or the opposite, this program can't succeed because of X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, with a great coach, every place can be the right place, right? Yeah. Cornell was a crap hole. Rob Cole made him great. Mizzou, Brian Smith. We just talked about NC State and Pat Pop. NC State sucked forever. And it was like, that was like where good Pennsylvania kids go to die is like when I was in college, that's what people said. You know, Virginia Tech. And, you know, good coaches can coach and they make programs a lot better. And, you can say, oh, but they have this resource or that resource. And lots of times, the positives of those resources don't get talked about until after the coach has made those programs really, really high level.
100%.
To also push back on that a little bit, I do feel like those resources help. Location helps. There are a lot of advantages some schools have. You see that?
Yeah, but think about the ones I mentioned, like Cornell. You could have named 10 reasons why they were terrible when Rob Cole took over. NC State, same thing. I mean, you go somewhere like Ohio State and Russ Helixson had a few good years, but overall they weren't all that great. And now look how consistently they are near the top. I mean, you could just kind of keep naming coaches who just do a really good job and make the program so much better.
Of course, no doubt good coaches are can make any program good. But at the same time, I think some programs just have a ceiling. And some have.
Why? You're crazy. You're crazy.
Man, I mean, Ben, you just...
Penn State! Look at Penn State, for God's sake!
Penn left State was, Iowa State bro, because Penn State sleeping has a giant.
No, look at Penn State. Penn State was average forever. Like, they had some good years. Sunderland had some good years, but...
I don't think JD is talking about a Big Ten team that's in the middle of the best wrestling school.
That
school
only proves my
state.
Point.
But that's how people
Iowa
thought
State.
About Penn State before Kale went there.
Except Kale had the
that's how they thought
realization.
About it.
I wasn't born yet, so I don't know.
I can be more dominant at Penn State than I can at Iowa State. That Penn State has advantages for me that I don't currently have at Iowa State.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're still talking about the way, Penn State had existed for, 70 years prior to Kale? And they did win one title in 1953, but the majority of people thought Penn State, it's a great wrestling state, the best high school wrestling state, but Penn State... They probably were saying, and I don't recall because I wasn't paying close enough attention, Penn State can't succeed because there's 13 other Division I wrestling colleges in Pennsylvania or some other stupid reason. And then what, Kale goes there and they're the greatest ever. Like Ohio State with Tom Ryan. Again, Russ Helixson had some good years, but there were more that were like, man, in the middle. Tom Ryan goes there and they win a couple of national titles and they're consistently – this year they're kind of having a down year, but they're consistently in the top five. And
Penn State's a bad example. It's a huge state school, and it's in the Big Ten.
It's not a bad example. They weren't good till Kale went there.
Yeah, and there's a reason Kale went there instead of Lock Haven.
Yeah.
Listen, you guys can make all the excuses you want. Penn State was not good before they went there. And sure, Lock Haven
is
much harder.
You don't agree that some schools might have a ceiling that Penn
State advantages. Didn't have? Advantages is what I'm saying.
Listen, I don't believe in ceilings. I don't see ceilings. Yeah, Wisconsin sucked and we're making it better. I don't believe in ceilings. Go make it happen. Stop being a coward.
Yeah, I think your examples of Ohio State and Penn State are just like
they weren't good, Christian. They were not great programs.
I'm not talking about good. I'm talking about you can have more success at some programs because they have inherent advantages. Like West Virginia. I'm blanking. Tim Flynn did great things at Edinburgh, but ultimately he's like...
Now they're terrible.
Yes, obviously, because he's a great coach that shows, but he goes, I need to go somewhere where I can...
Is Tim Flynn a coward because he went to West Virginia?
Yes.
Then no.
No, it's likely because they paid him. But listen, I'm not saying people are cowards because you guys would have put a ceiling on Edinburgh, but he got them. I think he got them as high as third place.
He did.
That's pretty damn close. Like you guys would have put a ceiling before Brian Smith got the Mizzou. You would have put a ceiling on Mizzou significantly lower than I think they've been third twice. You would have put the ceiling a lot lower than that.
I don't think you can compare Edinburgh to Mizzou in that way. Just based off of
they both took third place.
I know, but I'm saying if you're gonna put it I think the point about Edinburgh is a really good point because that school you would put a ceiling on. Mizzou, I don't know necessarily I would have put the same ceiling on it.
Isn't that they couldn't maybe they couldn't win a trophy or maybe even a team title 1 year? But it's that it's going to be easier. The statistical probability of you having success.
Yeah, I didn't say it wasn't going to be easier. I didn't say easier or harder. I said possible.
What I'm saying, that it's going
to
be easier.
You know, like Mark Cody's never been able to replicate it, but he got American to fifth place. So when you guys are saying about ceiling's crap. Like, okay, third place. Now Mizzou hasn't won a national title. We came really damn close a couple of times. And I'm sure some of these other programs like will be able to come close. Like, so when you're saying ceiling, like what's your ceiling? Second place? First place, like, I don't know. That's a pretty high ceiling to me. Second place, first place, third place. Where do you want to put the ceiling? I'll put it really damn high. If you get the right person in the right program, they can take that program and elevate it to really, really high levels. Can they wish an national title every year? No, but a ceiling means how high you can finish.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying.
If you can finish in first or second, that's a high ceiling. Saying.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
The right coach, a good coach, can win at any program. But what I am saying is there are some major advantages some programs have that some don't.
We're going in the circle now.
And, no one argued that. I never made that statement. Never made it. Not once. You're straw-manning me.
All right, is there anything else we want to talk about before we end the show?
No.
One interesting thing.
I want to formally apologize for having too much energy for Christian Pyle to keep up with today.
Well, no,
I cut him off like 10 times. I'm sorry. I freaking Bitcoin's at its all-time high. We killed it yesterday. I got a workout in. I was in the sauna. I came ready to bring the freaking heat. I apologize for how much heat I brought.
Ben's full of heat shock proteins right now.
Yeah.
And hot dogs.
And hot dogs.
That was beef.
This is probably not the best question to end the show on, but I thought it was really interesting. Would Mekhi have... If Mekhi bookends his career with titles, would that be the largest gap between titles ever, 2019 and 2024?
Oh.
I just think that's a little fun question.
Gotta be.
Unless there was someone who won one like before World War II and after World War II.
Well, I can't even think of anybody else who won one like freshman and senior.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, that's gotta be up there. There's a lot of anomalies with this COVID redshirt nonsense. It would be crazy if he went out with a title. Although, is he? All right, a line comes out for the national champion.
We know what we know about Carter Storace now and in this scenario. We don't know for sure.
What is the betting line going to be at 174? I don't think you put a
smart money ain't putting their money on 174.
Scared money don't make money.
Take your money to a different weight class. take all your money to -600 Penn State.
Your money and put it in Bitcoin, according to Ben.
That too. That's 100%.
All right. Let's roll. I'm tired of talking. I'm not getting to talk. It's so annoying.
If I have to pick a national champion at 174 right now, I'm still picking Curtis Storace. Assuming he's wrestling and is, I don't think he needs to be 100%, but he'll be healthy enough to get the job done.
All right. Thank you,
Christian.
Josh.
You can have the last word.
Goodbye. Thank you, good. Josh. We'll see you Wednesday at 8:30. Later.
Are we still, I think we're still. Well. Oh, there we go.